This is the song, la 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 la, Elmo's song.
It's hard to imagine a world without little Elmo. Distinctively red, monster Muppet. Today he is as recognizable all over the world as Oprah, maybe more. And his theme song, as singable as the national anthem. Certainly it's more singable.
He loves to sing, la 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 la, Elmo's song.
But the story of how Elmo came to be is as heartwarming a story as you'll ever hear. The puppeteer behind Elmo is a gentle giant of a man named Kevin Clash, born with a gift and a wild dream to be on Sesame Street, mentored by many along the way, including the great Jim Henson. Kevin Clash made it farther than he could ever have imagined. The story is told in an amazing new documentary now in theaters around the country called Being Elmo, which won the special jury prize at Sundance. Kevin Clash revealed himself to be a towering talent filled with humility and grace, and perhaps the most grateful person you'll ever meet when he sat down in our studio yesterday to tell his amazing story, along with a very recognizable red puppet.
You know, I wanted to do it because it you know, it's all of our journeys as far as puppeteers that grew up watching, you know, Sesame Street and wanting to be a part of Jim's world.
In your case, from a neighborhood in Boston,
yeah,
in Baltimore.
In Baltimore, yeah, down in Turner Station, you know, we call it Chocolate City. And I mean, it was a dream to, you know, to work with Jim and the Muppets and to actually be sitting here with this little red monster on my hand. And
hey, Elmo, how you doing? Nice to see you.
How you doing? Good morning.
Yeah, it's great to have you.
Is this going to be aired in the morning?
This will be aired in the morning. I mean, if I do well, I mean, the pressure's on for me here.
Well, see, Elmo's TV and radio savvy. So that's why Elmo wanted to know what time should he be saying.
Pointers?
Yes.
Pointers from the master.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to get. Know the timing. Yeah, this will be between 6 and 8 in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah, but we'll give you specific information.
Thank you.
Don't worry, we would never withhold that information.
Thank you.
You know what was amazing in your story from Baltimore in this documentary? Your friends, first of all, understand your dream of being a puppeteer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They understand your dreams to be a part of the Henson world, but they also understand that you satisfying your dreams is going to make you successful. What did they say in your yearbook in high school?
Most likely to make a millionaire.
This is a beautiful story of how, you know, realizing your dreams is also a form of success from neighborhood where there wasn't a lot of success.
Very, very, very lucky in that the teachers that I had saw it, and they wanted to nourish that. They wanted to help me with it also.
And it all began, is this a true story, with you making a puppet out of a trench coat laying around your house?
Yeah, well, the lining of my father's coat, I built a puppet out of and didn't realize what I'd done until after I'd done it.
And your father wasn't happy, but your mother immediately understood.
Well, you know, my father came to me and said, what's his name? And I said, Mondi. And he said, next time, ask. But, you know, because they understood. Both of them were very, very creative. My father drew a lot. You know those things in the magazines where can you draw this doodle?
Yeah.
You know, he could draw it in a second.
Wow.
My mother sewed a lot. She taught me how to sew on a Singer sewing machine early on because I had got, do you remember Romper Room?
Sure.
They asked me to build a dock puppet for each city. And so they could talk about health. And that was when my mom said, because she would help me, you know, my mom said, no, I can't build these 30 puppets for you. You're going to have to learn how to sew on this.
So seriously, your mom picks up the phone and says, oh, Kevin, Romper Room's on the phone. They want you to make some puppets.
I had done some stuff I had done some stuff at Channel 2.
Baltimore.
The news program. Yeah. The news would come to the harbor and see me doing shows. And so they got wind and they asked me, could I build this puppet? And I got $10 per puppet.
Puppeteers are global entertainers these days.
Sure.
Because of Jim Henson?
Oh, yeah. I'm a scout for Sesame Street. We have co-productions all around the world.
You're a scout?
Yeah, I scout talent.
What do you think, Kevin?
That's
what do
good.
You think? You like that?
We just got to train you a little bit more.
Talking with Kevin Clash, who's the puppeteer, an immensely talented puppeteer who plays Elmo on Sesame Street, but has a long history before that. He's the subject of the new documentary, Being Elmo, and in many ways the climax of this whole film is all about how your drive to make it big connects with the drive of a little puppet to make it big on Sesame Street, who wasn't doing so well.
Well, I thought I was going to get fired any day now. I was performing a character called Hoots that I was actually doing. It was good character.
And Hoots' voice, remind us of
how you doing?
Yeah, there we go.
Que pasa? But they weren't writing that much for him.
Yeah.
And so I thought any day now. So Brian Mule was a puppeteer on the show, and he originated Barkley and Telly for the show. And he got Elmo first. He did a couple of shows, and then he left the show to pursue his acting and writing. Richard Hunt, who, of course, is one of Jim's main puppeteers, got it.
Got Elmo.
Yeah, got
and
Elmo.
He wasn't like it. And let's just listen for a moment. Let's listen for a moment to what Elmo originally sounded like.
Sure.
You're going to be freaked out.
Uh-oh. Elmo squeak balloon too hard.
All right, so the puppeteer doing that Elmo wasn't particularly happy with the character.
Well, it wasn't that he wasn't. It was the head writer, Norman Stiles, at the time said, what is he doing? And, you know, they would try to say, Richard, can you, like, make it a little bit more sweeter? And then he just got tired of it. So I was in the Muppet room. He had the puppet. He threw the puppet to me and said, come up with a voice. And, you know, I did that voice. And he took me into Lisa Simon, who was the producer at the time. And she said, listen, if you don't want to do it, fine. You know, give it to Kevin and see what he does.
And the character of Elmo is, in your view, and you created this character. Elmo's what?
Elmo's 3.5 years old.
Right.
He's exactly what you have children. He's exactly that age.
Year old.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, and you've had a 3.5.
Yeah.
It's that age group that they just everything is exciting, everything's wonderful. All they want is to be acknowledged 24/7. They want hugs and kisses, and they want to give you hugs and kisses, and they're. In seconds, their emotion can change. They can go from crying to laughing to getting mad, you know, or just singing to themselves. And that's really where Elmo comes from. And then, of course, he has the Muppet edge that I put to him as an adult, trying to make somebody else laugh.
Right.
Because I learned all of that from Jim. Also, he really makes sure, you know, with these little eyes, he really makes sure that whenever I meet a child, he looks directly at that child and he says, you know, I've been waiting for you. You know, it's so good to see you.
It doesn't
and make
sound
sure.
Really very good when you say it.
No.
Sorry, he keeps talking.
And so what are those lines that fellow said a moment
Elmo's
ago?
Elmo's so happy to see you.
Oh, that's better.
It's so good to see you.
There you go.
Elmo's been waiting for you.
And a puppeteer talks a lot about, thank you, Elmo. Thanks for covering for this guy.
Yes.
You know, you're carrying him. Do you understand that?
Always.
You know, a puppeteer always talks about the reality that is imparted to an object called a puppet. The reality that Elmo has is so beyond anything, it seems to me, in the history of puppets, even beyond, to a certain extent, Kermit and Ernie and all the famous Muppets. I mean, Elmo is a character that lives in kids who become adults.
Well, he's hit a chord with that age group that really, just as soon as they can talk, they're connecting to this little red monster, which is amazing. It's not something that you can bottle. It's not something that you can predict. It just happened, and it's amazing. It really, truly is amazing. I mean, I have parents come up to me mad at me because their child's first words is Elmo instead of mommy and daddy. So I had
what does Elmo say to those parents?
It's okay. You'll get over it.
Nice. Why do kids identify with Elmo? Why did they think they know him?
Because it's they are him. He's them. It's exactly. It's a mirror image of them.
Yeah, which is a big reality. It's not just like the cute elephant over there.
And I think that's one of the main reasons why he's so popular. They hear that voice. They hear themselves.
Elmo, thanks for bringing this guy along.
Boy, this was boring.
He's a knockout. No, he's pretty good.
No, this was boring for Elmo.
Stick with Kevin though.
Okay.
What would you like to do? You want to take us out?
Huh?
You want to take us out, Elmo?
Yeah. What do you want Elmo to say?
Why don't you say, you're listening to The Takeaway.
You're listening to The Takeaway with Elmo.
Thanks, Elmo.
Sorry, Elmo added that little thing.
Don't take my job, though.
Sorry.
Really, I got 5 kids.
Okay.
No, thanks.
Taxi.
Take care.
Bye.
Kevin Clash, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And on this sunny day in New York, if you want to catch up on that conversation or anything else on our show, you can get our podcast, re-listen on demand, share segments with your friends. That's at our site, thetakeaway.org. It's a sunny place, too. I'm John Hockenberry.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.